To me, it's always been a blessing to see how some people just have a natural gift for hospitality. They seem to do it with such ease and freedom, and they love to cook and prepare and have people over, and it just seems like it's no struggle at all. It's just effortless. And on the other hand, for others, it just seems, although others might love to do it and enjoy the fellowship, it's a little bit harder, the struggle of all the details of it. Nevertheless, I think Scripture tells us that hospitality is something that every one of us needs to work at and needs to exercise. And in our study here of the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis, we find in Genesis chapter 18 that we have here a beautiful example of hospitality. We've been studying Abraham and seeing some of his weaknesses, and we confess we can't throw stones at his weaknesses because we have them ourselves. We've seen some of his virtues, and praise God, we have those, and God's graciousness to us in those areas. Here in this chapter 18 of the book of Genesis, we find Abraham demonstrating here the virtue of being a model host. And we see then the blessing that comes from showing hospitality. Genesis chapter 18, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, and notice as we read the ways in which Abraham demonstrates hospitality and the way in which God then blesses that faithfulness. Genesis chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would minister to our hearts from this portion of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Showing hospitality. In this portion of Scripture, as we see Abraham showing hospitality, we find various things regarding this virtue that I believe can be helpful to us. First of all, in verses 1 through 8, we notice that hospitality deepens our fellowship. Abraham was sitting in the door of his tent all by himself. Wasn't talking with anybody. Nothing to do. Here he was sitting in the heat of the day. Here in our land, we don't pay too much attention about the heat of the day. Even in the summertime here in Grand Rapids, it isn't all that bad. We are more concerned about the cold of the morning rather than the heat of the noon. Don't go out too early in the morning in the middle of winter. You'll freeze your ears before you know that it's cold out. But there where Abraham lived, the heat of the day was something to be careful about. And down where we were in South America, it was somewhat temperate in Chile, but many of the South American countries, you had to respect the heat of the day. And in the Philippines, where Pert and Mel are, you need to respect the heat of the day. And here Abraham was seated in the shade of the door of his tent in the heat of the day. I know in South America, in Chile, we had a long lunch hour. People would go home for lunch because from 12 to 4 was lunch hour. You say, that sounds good, doesn't it? Would you like to have from 12 to 4 for your lunch hour? Well, it isn't all benefit because you started at 8 and you worked from 8 to 12, which would be 4 hours. And then you got back on the bus again and went home and had your lunch and laid down and took a nap. And you got up again and you went back at 4, but you worked till 8, another 4 hours. So you got your 8 hours in anyway. It isn't all benefit. But they're used to respecting that heat of the day. And Abraham here was resting in the heat of the day. And when he looked up and he saw 3 men that stood before him, 3 men that stood by him. And Abraham refers to one of these men as his Lord. And we notice here then in verse 13, for example, the Lord said unto Abraham, and the word there is Jehovah. And so one of these men is Jehovah God. We have here a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ appearing to Abraham before his actual coming to earth to take on human flesh. And he appears here to Abraham and with him two angels. We know this because, for example, in verse 22, we read that the two men that were with him turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And then in chapter 19 and verse 1, we read that there came two angels to Sodom. And so these other two men were two angels. And these three then stood before Abraham's tent at a distance. We know it was at a distance because he had to run to get to where they were. And so he looked up, and at a distance were these three men. And this was a respectful, courteous thing to do. In fact, when we go visiting, we come to a door and we knock on the door or ring the doorbell, and then we step back a step or two so that when the person opens the door, he doesn't find us face to face with him. So we step back at a respectable distance. But Abraham didn't have a door. He was sitting out in front of his tent. And so in that culture, you didn't come too close to the tent. If you wanted to be noticed, you would stand at a distance. And Abraham looked and saw these two men not walking along, but standing there at a distance. And he knew immediately that they were asking for hospitality. And so he ran to meet them, showing his enthusiasm. He didn't just holler at them from his seat and say, you know, what do you want? He didn't just get up and saunter that way, hoping they would continue walking on, perhaps. But he got up and he ran, showing his enthusiasm and saying in this way, I want you to know that you are welcome. Now, Abraham realized who they were, very specifically, as he says, and in verse 3, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight. He doesn't address all three of them. He singles out one of them, recognizing that one of them was the Lord. We realize that he bowed to the ground here in adoration. And so he knew who these men were. He recognized one of them to be the Lord himself. And he ran to welcome them. And then we find that he provided all the courtesies of the day. First of all, he provided water for their feet. In those days, as you walked across the dusty paths of the hillsides of Palestine, your feet would become caked with the dust from the mixed with the perspiration of your feet with the sandals, open sandals. And so one of the first courtesies was to wash the feet of the traveler. That refreshing feeling of having the dust washed away and to be able to enjoy that comfort was one of the courtesies of the day. And then we read that he brought food. He told Sarah to quickly bake some bread. And we, of course, we would say just go and get the loaf of bread, because we have things set up in our country so that you can buy a loaf of bread and keep it in the house for a week, maybe even 2 weeks, with all the freshener chemicals added to them. And bread lasts a long time. But in those days, there were no additives, and people were accustomed to eating their bread fresh. This was one of the things that surprised us in Chile, was that a little man came down the street with his cart, and it was a bread wagon. He'd stop and want to know if you wanted bread. And so the first time Norma bought bread from him, he said she wanted to know when he'd be back again. He says, I come three times a day. She thought she misunderstood his Spanish. You know, I come three times a week. But no, he meant it. I come three times a day, because they never ate stale bread. Your bread was always hot. It had to be fresh baked, and so they came three times a day. And so also here, Abraham says to Sarah, bake bread, because you always serve your bread hot. And while she did that, he got a calf and killed it, and the servant roasted it and brought the meal. And that sounds like it went rather rapidly, but when you consider how long it must have taken to dress that calf and roast it, They probably waited an hour or two, I would think. More than that? Several hours. And so that meant that they had several hours of fellowship. They didn't just sit there and do nothing. I'm sure they talked. And I wondered, what did they talk about all that time, 2 or 3 hours, while that meal was getting ready? And what a beautiful time of fellowship that would have been. And then we read that they ate. In verse 8, he brought the food, and it says he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I think this is the only instance of the Lord Jesus eating before his incarnation, before he came and took on flesh and blood. And we read that they ate. Now, they didn't have to eat. They ate out of choice rather than out of necessity. And being not only Abraham being a gracious host, but they being gracious guests, they ate what was put before them and didn't say, I don't need to eat your food because we don't need to eat. You know, I'm God and these are angels. And so, no, they were gracious guests as well, and they ate what was placed before them. And there's a lesson here also, not only of being a gracious host, but of being a gracious guest. I know we would, in our deputation travels, from house to house, from church to church, and then from house to house, many times people would set before you things you really didn't care that much for. But it was always cute to see our girls say, just a tiny piece, please. They weren't going to refuse it, but they didn't really want all that much. And I remember the time when we first got to Chile, we were set down to a meal. And as we looked at the meal, the first thing that was being served to us was a big lettuce salad. And it looked delicious, but we had been warned not to eat the lettuce because they watered the lettuce with the irrigation canals. And the irrigation canals had all kinds of no-no stuff in it. And we were told, you know, don't eat the lettuce. And so in our home, before we ate lettuce, we would put it through a solution of like permanganate, a strong poison, and then we'd wash and wash and wash it to get the poison out, the permanganate out, or else it would really fix us up good. But lettuce was a no-no, and we looked at each other, you know, what are you going to do here? And say, well, I know that we're going to pray before we eat. I know that. And we ate, and God blessed us, and we didn't get sick because you eat what's put before you. And here we find the Lord giving a good lesson to us. You eat, even though you don't need to eat, you eat. And we see here the courtesies of the day that are being followed and the lengthy time of fellowship. And we aren't told what they talked about. Just a very little part of it we were told, but I've wondered, what did they talk about all that time? That must have been a very interesting conversation that Abraham had with the Lord. And as I looked at that, I said, you know, hospitality certainly deepens our fellowship. Because all the time you're fixing the food or waiting for it to be fixed and then sitting down and eating it and then sitting around the table afterward, you're having fellowship. And so hospitality increases, deepens our fellowship. And this is what Abraham found as he offered hospitality to the Lord. Secondly, in verses 9 through 15, hospitality brings blessing. And as Abraham and the Lord were talking, the Lord brought up a subject that was very important to Abraham and Sarah. In fact, I would say that the most important thing in life for them right now, or rather at least the thing that they wanted most in life, both Abraham and Sarah, was a son. And the Lord brought up the subject of a son and promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. Now we read that Sarah felt that this was just a bad joke as far as she was concerned. And God said to her, is anything too hard for the Lord? I was excited to notice in the margin that there's an alternate translation for that word hard. And it's the word wonderful. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Now, I like that translation better, don't you? Here, Abraham and Sarah, wanting a son for years and years and years, the desire of their heart to have a child. And now they were past that time when, humanly speaking, they could have a child. And here God comes and says to them, you're going to have a son. And in their own hearts, they're saying, that is too wonderful to even believe. And God says, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Can you think of the most wonderful thing that could happen to you? That's not too wonderful for the Lord to do. He can do that. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And so hospitality brings blessing. Just think, what if Abraham hadn't run out to welcome these guests and prepare a meal to set before them, and they ate? And it was after the meal that the Lord said, Sarah will have a son. I wonder if Abraham ever thought afterwards, you know, what if I'd have felt lazy that day and said, I just don't feel like having company today. Look what he would have missed. Hospitality brings blessing. And certainly there's nothing too wonderful for the Lord to do. Thirdly, hospitality widens our ministry. Verses 16 through 19, we read that as the Lord began to go on his way, verse 16, the men rose up from thence, looked toward Sodom. Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. Now, this is something else that we find very closely followed in Latin cultures. In fact, we were amazed many things that are very common in the Bible that we in the United States pay very little attention to. In Latin American countries, they follow very closely. And one thing is to show people on their way. If you are a guest, for example, and it's time to go, time that you feel you need to go, you don't just get up and go to the door and go. You begin to let hints drop, well, I really should go now. Because it's the place of the guest to get up first and show you to the door. And it's his place to open the door for you. You don't touch that doorknob. And if he really esteems you, he will follow you out the door to the gate. They have big walls going around their properties with a gate out at the wall by the street, and he'll follow you out to the street. And if he really wants to show how much he esteems you, he'll follow you on down the street. If you're going to the bus line, he'll walk you to the bus line. If you're walking home, he'll walk you part way home. The farther he goes with you, the higher the esteem that he has for you. And so we see that when the Lord said it was time to go, Abraham went with them to bring them on their way, showing his esteem and following the custom of showing hospitality and respect. And as he went on the way, that's when the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? And God shares here something very exciting about Abraham. He says, because Abraham is going to be a great nation, every nation of the earth shall be blessed in him, because I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which has been spoken of him. You know, I can imagine that was exciting for Abraham to hear. God, are you talking about me? God says, yes, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do for you. Well, just think. If he had said, well, all right, if you want to go ahead and go. He didn't do that. He was hospitable. And he showed them on their way. He went with them. He brought them on their way. And it was as he was bringing them on their way that this beautiful commendation was given and this prophecy of what God was going to do. And so there is a great blessing. And there's a widening then of our ministry because God said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm going to do? If Abraham had not gone with the Lord part way like this, then he would not have had the privilege of knowing what God was going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. But as a result, God said, I'm going to share with Abraham. Because Abraham is faithful in showing hospitality, I'm going to share with him that which I am going to do. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. And God gave Abraham some inside information here on Sodom and Gomorrah because of Abraham's faithfulness. Just think what he would have missed had he out of laziness or carelessness said, well, I'll just go a few feet. But he went on and brought the Lord on his way. And then fourthly, verses 20 to 33, we find that hospitality increases our effectiveness. Abraham would not have had the privilege of interceding for Sodom had he not shown hospitality. We read here then that God showed to Abraham what he was going to do. He said, I'm going down to Sodom, and I'm going to find out if things are there as I understand that they are. Now, God knows all things. But here, God is sharing with Abraham that which he has in mind. And in this portion, then, we find Abraham's prayer to God. And what an example of faith in praying that we see in this portion of Scripture. We find here in verses 20 to 33, first of all, that Abraham knew when to pray. God shared something very important with Abraham. He said, I'm going down to see if the iniquity of Sodom is what has been told to me. And if not, I will know. Now, God didn't share that with Abraham just so that Abraham would have some choice gossip. And Abraham could then go to some of the people around about and say, do you know what I heard? I heard about those people down in Sodom, and things are really bad down there. So he might even say, we got to pray for them. God didn't share this with Abraham just to give him some gossip. God didn't share it with Abraham just to satisfy some curiosity. Abraham thinking, seems to me things must be getting bad down there. Well, I knew it. Abraham shared this with God for a purpose. And when God shares things with us, it's that we might have a ministry of intercession. And so Abraham knew when to pray. When God gave him information, Abraham said, this information is for the purpose of intercession. He knew when to pray. And when God gives us information, it's so that we might pray. Not that we might talk about it or spread it, but that we might pray and lay it before God. And this horrible, this wicked, vile situation down in Sodom was something that God shared with Abraham that he might pray. And so there's this need of prayer when God shares things with us. It's that we might pray. And Abraham knew when to pray. And it not only gave him the opportunity of praying, but also gave him an opportunity of praying for someone that had wronged him, because Lot was down there in Sodom. And you remember that just before this time, Lot had taken away the best portion of the land. When he should have given deference to his uncle Abraham and said, you know, you are the one that should have first choice, Lot chose the best for himself. And you might say, in our terms of this day, Lot ripped his uncle off. And Abraham could have felt that in his heart, you know, that wasn't really the right thing to do. But Abraham here, seeing the situation, God informing him of the impending destruction of Sodom, Abraham went before God in prayer, in intercession, even though Lot was down there, that he might then pray even for the one who had wronged him. We're told, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. We're told to pray for those who despitefully use you. So Abraham knew when to pray. He knew he should pray, that this was not information to be spread, but to be prayed about. He knew he should pray, even though the one who had defrauded him was down there. And then secondly, Abraham knew how to pray. Notice how he prays here. All through this section, beginning in verse 23, he said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And verse 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Far be it from thee. Abraham prays according to the character of God. Abraham doesn't say, I want you to do me a favor. We have no right to demand favors of God. Abraham prayed according to the character of God. God, you're a just God. You're a righteous God. Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so he prays according to the character of God. And then he prays also in humility. And he says, I'm just dust and ashes. I have no reason to expect that you would hear me. But I come and ask that you would answer my prayer and not be angry with my intercession, but hear my prayer as I would ask that you would do this for your name's sake, because you are a just and righteous God. So Abraham not only knew when to pray, he knew how to pray, praying according to the character of God and praying in humility. And then thirdly, Abraham knew when to stop praying. There's a time to stop praying. And Abraham says in verse 32, yet this once. And so he was not going to ask again. He said, this is the last request, and I'm not going to press it any further. I think Abraham realized that all the time that Lot had been living in the city of Sodom, if Lot's testimony had not effected the conversion of at least 10 people, counting his own family, then certainly there was no reason not to destroy the entire city. We read further on in the story that actually there were only 4 righteous in the city: Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters. God was very faithful. He took those 4 out. He went beyond Abraham's prayer. All Abraham said was, don't destroy it for 10. God said, I won't. God went beyond that, and he even rescued the 4. And God is so gracious in doing that, going even beyond, over and above beyond that which we could ask or think. The exceedingly abundantly is the way that God answers. And so we see here that God, that Abraham interceded before the Lord, and interceded in a godly way. He knew when to stop praying as well. And there is a time when we need to stop praying. We are told in 1 John that if any man commit the sin unto death, we are not to pray for him. There is a sin unto death, says John. And there is a point beyond which we recognize even before God that kind of rebellion merits God's discipline of death. And so there is a sin unto death, says the Apostle John. And so Abraham here intercedes, and we see that his hospitality increases his effectiveness in his ministry before God. All of this then was because when it was hot and Abraham was resting, he was willing to jump up, show full hospitality to unexpected visitors. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." I think he's referring to Abraham. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And so hospitality includes, first of all, enthusiasm. Abraham ran. It includes thoughtfulness. He washed their feet. It includes eating, a casual time for conversation. It includes receiving a blessing, Sarah and a son, and Abraham would become great. It includes sharing our concerns, the concern of Sodom's condition and the solution for that. All of these things come out of hospitality. And as I read this chapter, I thought, Lord, I pray that you would enable me to learn from the example of Abraham here in the area of hospitality. Just think what Abraham would have missed that day if he had just stayed sitting comfortably in the shade of his tent. Father, we thank you for the encouragements you give to us, and we recognize it is so easy for us to become comfortable and not demonstrate that which you exhort us to do in your word, and that is to be hospitable. We pray that you would enable us to do this. Although it might seem more difficult for some than for others, for all of us, it is a command. We pray that we might learn how to show this kind of hospitality, to put ourselves out, and then to see you bless in unusual ways in our lives, ways in which we would miss were we not faithful and obedient to you in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.